Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline where we find the ginger-haired genius. He is Zach Zaidman. Car ready for back to school? See your CarX man. And you heard from the public earlier on the show. We had a caller, Zach. He wants to see the biscuit. You want to see? That's it. And John Fox is getting tired of answering questions about that before, during, and after practices and games. But good morning, first of all, Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Did the conversation change at all when it comes to the quarterbacks after the second preseason game?
No, I don't think that they are that they're going to make drastic changes in regards to the quarterback position heading into this week. And I do think, though, I go back overall and I look at what the brass of the team said day one of training camp. You know, Ryan Pace sat down there during the press conference. What did he say? What's the strength of the team? He said the front seven. So far, from what we've seen over the first couple of preseason games, that's definitely been the case, that the defense looks a little bit better than it was last year, and the front seven looks like it's going to be the strength of the team going forward. The other big thing that you knew coming into the season is that the Bears had the ability to run the ball after Jordan Howard finished number two in the league in yards rushing last season behind Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Jordan Howard wasn't a part of this game the other night, and yet the Bears were still able to successfully run the ball with an offensive line that, if all goes right, you're not going to see on opening day. So to me, that was something as they continue to try and establish some depth on the interior of the line because of some injuries to some key players so far this training camp. As for the quarterback position, the way I look at it with Mike Lennon is, yes, they were able to move the ball down the field. It's a little concerning to this point. One of the things that you notice about Glennon is that if you take him off his initial launch point, meaning you force him to move around and have to reset, gather himself, and then throw the ball again, that process takes an extremely long time because he's such a big person. I think you heard early on in camp, the quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, as well as Dow Loggins, the big buzzwords in regards to Mike Lennon was, you know, he's nimble, he's got good feet for a big guy. He may, but it takes a lot of time for him to make stuff happen once he's forced to initially move, and then he's got that long windup. So I feel like they play a little bit slow as a first-team offense. I'll give Glennon credit for this. You know, a lot of times a quarterback can use the excuse of, hey, I've got to watch the tape before he answers a question about anything. You know, last week, Glennon, after that Broncos game, felt that he made the right decision when he threw the ball that ended up being a pick six. It was just poor execution. This week, he was very honest before watching the tape and said that's a ball he shouldn't have thrown. Cannot have a red zone takeaway in that sense because it kills you. This is a red zone game. And he knew it was a mistake. It was nice to see him bounce back and put the ball in the end zone. But, you know, you do wonder, at least at this stage, and keep in mind the Bears aren't running anything close to what they're going to try and run when the regular season starts. You do wonder if there is a quarterback on the roster that can make those 3 to 5 big plays a game that you need to win tight games in 2017.
I don't know that you wonder that. Don't you already know that? Don't you suspect that? Haven't you seen that? And haven't you seen evidence of that? Look, Zach, what you have described is the perfect reason why it's the reason people are so excited about Mitch Trubisky. When you have a mobile quarterback, you have a dangerous quarterback. When you have an immobile quarterback, you have a problem. Mike Glennon has not shown the ability to improvise, to make something out of nothing, to extend plays. That is probably right now what Mitch Trubisky does as well as anything, or at least has shown. And I think when you don't give him an opportunity to play with the number one offense, you're settling, you're accepting reality as it is. And I don't know that you have to do that because everything you said about the running game and the defense is valid. But at what point are you going to get frustrated that your quarterback is holding you back from making even more progress as a team?
I think that always frustrates you, especially when you consider this is a team that under this regime has won 9 games in 2 years. They're coming off a 3-13 season. People are wondering if the head coach is going to be back and get an extension at the end of this upcoming season. So I get all that. That's why I don't think they're going to screw up the quarterback position from the standpoint that everyone seems to be worried about. When is this guy going to play? When he's ready, he's going to play because they're trying to win games. They know what happened to the previous regime, that the same chairman of the board is still in place, that the previous general manager was fired after 3 years and the previous head coach was fired after 2. They understand what's at stake here and the way the Bears have operated. I just think that when you have a player like Trubisky that has shown you some traits that get you excited about what this guy can be in the future, when he gets the call, you want it to be for the right reasons. And you don't want to have to yank him out after a couple of games because he's not ready to be a high-level performer. And I think that's why you have to be careful in developing Mitchell Trubisky. If he continues to show that he can handle all the different things that you're going to have to deal with as an NFL quarterback, because it would have been a different conversation today. I think if you saw everything that you saw in the Broncos game and he took it to the next level on the road against another very good team in Arizona. But that didn't happen. So allow him to develop. I keep saying you want the next Derek Carr, not the next David Carr. So when he's right, I think the Bears will put him in. I don't think that time is right now.
It was interesting to hear John Fox in the postgame, Zach, asked about the players and, you know, that they're not paying attention. John Fox's message to answer was basically they're not caught up in the Mitch Trubisky, Mike Glennon story that a lot of us are fixated on. But at some point, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, at some point, those players will determine what we think we know already, that one guy's the better quarterback. And when that happens, do you have to take that into consideration of that, you know, the team knows whether you're putting the best quarterback out there and the best opportunity, giving the team the best opportunity to win a game?
Yeah, I think that's why it's not, I'm not concerned in asking the questions of when is this going to happen? Are they going to allow this to happen? I think if they feel that Mitchell Trubisky gives them the best chance to win football games in real games against NFL teams that are running real defenses where they're disguising things and they're trying to get in a young quarterback's head, if they feel that Trubisky is the best possible guy to do that, I think eventually he will get an opportunity, and I don't think you're going to have to wait long for that to happen. But I think they understand some of the limitations that you're dealing with, at least right now, at this stage of his career, and you can't screw it up. To me, the biggest thing is you don't want to take someone who appears to have the kind of talent that Trubisky has and screw it up, because if you mess with a quarterback's mentality at a young age, sometimes they never recover from that. And that's why that's one of the reasons that they paid Glennon the money that they paid.
Maybe.
And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I think the most important thing is to make sure that you don't rush Trubisky. When it's time, he'll be out there. I don't think it's something that you're going to have to wait for. This is an organization that's trying to win games.
Everybody talks about that. And the assumption is that these guys are so mentally fragile that they can't take a setback and adversity and things like that. And I just don't see that in Mitchell Trubisky. I think that you look at a guy that has handled the things fairly well, everything that's been thrown at him in terms of the other stuff that comes with being an NFL quarterback. Look, nobody's asking him to be promoted on today, the day after, they go back to practice or anything like that. I think that, but not opening the competition to make that conceivable and not.
But you're always competing. I think they don't have to. They don't have to announce it. There wasn't an announcement made. You brought up the Chad Hutchinson case last week, I believe it was,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And there wasn't an announcement made that Chad Hutchinson was going to go from starting quarterback with the Bears to fourth string and then
no, but Zach. Right, but you know what? There have been pronouncements about how great Mike Glennon's response was and how terrific he was. They're trying too hard to make us believe that this guy's an NFL starter, and that's what I mean. That's what tells me there's no competition. Their mind was made up, and they're accepting what he is and what he isn't.
I believe that there's always a competition whether it's said or isn't said. I think your job is always on the line if you don't perform up to expectations. I think if you are not helping a team make the plays that that team needs to make in order to win, you're in jeopardy of losing your job. So I don't really buy into it's nice that things get said, and I understand they have to play the game when we come out and ask the questions, but I think we all know, and you've watched enough football in your life.
It's more than just said, Zach. It's you watch what they do. The way they called that game for Mike Glennon on Saturday night told me they're trying to put him in the best position possible not to make a mistake.
Yeah, and we talked about it Friday, that we fully expected them to put the handcuffs on Mike Glennon, because if you want to change the narrative, you don't have him throwing the ball deep because bad things can happen, so keep it under control.
But they did throw the ball deep at one point and got a pass interference play. I think, at least in talking to Dow Longas before the game started, one of the things that they pointed out was, and they failed to do this against the Broncos, they wanted to establish the running game. Because when you think of what the Bears' offense is going to be during the regular season, it's a team that's going to establish the power running game and then off of play action create some mismatches using the three tight ends, which they're not really going to do in these preseason games to give away the types of mismatches that they're trying to create with both their running backs and their tight ends, which is what they've got, their strength in terms of the ability to create those mismatches in the passing game. They believe they've got a couple of big receivers that can create threats, but you're not going to see that, especially with a backup offensive line, and that's essentially what they were using in that game against the Cardinals. Keep in mind, Kyle Long didn't play early on in the game, and I talked about this with you guys last week. One of the biggest things that they're trying to establish is the next Cush and Larson in the event that, you know, guys get hurt on that offensive line. So in this game, they tried Hronis Grisu at center. They slid Cody Whitehair to left guard. Early on, they brought in Will Poles at the right guard position for Josh Sitton. So they were testing the interior of the line a little bit in this game. I think the other thing is that they wanted to make sure that they could run the ball. They did do a really nice job of establishing their power running game early on with a backup running back in Tariq Cohen. And then that was the initial plan, and then off of that they would use some play action, and they did. We've been talking about it really all throughout training camp, establishing a deep ball presence. So they did at one point go deep to Cameron Meredith, and he got the pass interference, which is what you want, because you were able to move the ball down the field. And I think that's the kind of safe offense you want to play with the kind of defense they think they can have this season. The issue becomes, and it always will be, if you're going to play in these tight games, which has been a John Fox staple, you know his MO, you need to have your quarterback be able to make 3 to 5 big plays a game in order to win. And that's the concern, is that you're not really seeing that. But again, they played it safe from a game plan standpoint because it's the preseason.
Zach, always a pleasure. Thanks for a lot of interesting points. Got a lot of people wanting to join the conversation. So I know the Bears pushed practice back today because of the eclipse. So avert your eyes, and we'll talk soon enough.
Yeah, they moved it early. And trust me, I have the glasses, so I'm ready if they actually do practice outdoors.
All right. You need the glasses to make them look like a playoff team?
The rose-colored glasses.
All right, Zach. Thanks, man.
See you, Zach.
He's Zach Zateman, the Bear expert here, also sideline reporter. You got Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley flashback.
I do have all of my glasses for the eclipse, Brian, and I would encourage you to get that done immediately.
Bonnie Tyler, Google it there, Z.
Total Eclipse of the Heart, I know it.
She's going to sing on some cruise as they're floating around watching the thing. She's going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart. How old is she?
That must be her first gig since the last eclipse.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Do not badmouth her.
You have to have special glasses to watch her act.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Oh, yeah, wipe the tears from your eyes and don't look directly into the sun at 121 today unless you have those glasses.
Cover your ears, too.
That's right. We're going to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. The Bears did move their practice around because they don't want to be practicing during the total eclipse down at Carbondale.
Not.
It's 87% here in Chicago, so
that's bad enough.
Yeah, they're in the dark on
close
the quarterback,
enough.
So might as well be. Let's check in with Charlie. Morning, Charlie.
Hey, good morning. You know, as a fan of the Bears, I've accepted the fact that they're rebuilding, and I understand that. But here's the problem that I have. The problem that I have is you drafted Trubisky as the future. I don't care about Glennon, and I don't care if they win now. What I care about is seeing this kid. I get excited when this kid comes in, but I just don't think that this coaching staff can or will advance this kid to where he's going to do something there, because John Fox is an old-time coach, and the Bears' mentality is that we drafted this kid, let's set him. Well, that's not the mentality of this day and age quarterback when they come out of college there. And granted, he still looks like a rookie. He is a rookie. But I get excited when he comes in because this kid can actually make some plays. And Dow Loggins is an idiot when it comes to offensive coordinators. What they did to him by putting him under center, every time that kid was under center, other than the one time when they faked, rolled over to the right and threw the ball, they ran the ball. That's what they did. I mean, they were predictable. It's preseason. It's understandable. You don't want to get him hurt. But still, you know, in the same sense, why wouldn't you run him with the number one offense just to see what he can do for the preseason? Because I got a feeling come midseason this year, he's going to be in there anyways, because I have no faith in Glennon to do anything, and I definitely don't want to see Sanchez.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
A lot there. And look, you know, Dave, you came in this morning before we were even on the air, and you know, you wrote your column, and it was very forthright. It's, you know, time to move on from this whole Mike Glennon idea, because at best he's a backup, and that's what he was in Tampa, and that's ultimately what his ceiling is. And you said, well, you hate to do that, you know, write that, but you have to write it, but because Mike Glennon seems like a nice guy and all that, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, I don't even know that John Fox, we asked John Fox, you know, Charlie said, who's going to develop the young talent, right? We asked mm-hmm. John Fox about that down in Bourbonnais. And he immediately said, well, we did that with Jake Delhomme in Carolina, and we did it with Tim Tebow, of all people. You know, that's the what we'll point to. But most of us believe you didn't really develop a quarterback. He went to a Super Bowl with Jake Delhomme.
Well, it was unorthodox.
Right.
It was unorthodox, and I think that was maybe his point. And look, I've advocated just open the competition. You don't have to start Trubisky tomorrow, but just give him a chance to win the job and give him an opportunity to play with starting offense against number one defense.
That would have to be Sunday against Tennessee,
and
right?
And I think that's probably the last opportunity you'll get to get a sense of where this really is. Nothing against Mike Glennon. He's a terrific teammate. He's a consummate pro. He's a nice, likable young man. He really is. I just think that when the more that you see of him, the more it reveals that he is an NFL backup quarterback. Couldn't you make a good living being an NFL backup quarterback?
Especially when they declare you're a starting quarterback and pay you as one.
Yeah, and he's getting paid as a starter. There's no question about it. But that doesn't mean he has to stubbornly stay in that position, even when evidence convinces you otherwise.
Tom's out there on the road. Morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I agree absolutely with David. But my point is, you know, I was listening to your Cubs piece on Ian Happ, and then listening to Zach reconfirm the Bears brass stance on Glennon, and it clicked. It's like, what? Think about what the Cubs have done with the Theo and Hoyer and bringing up Addison Russell, bringing up Contreras, you know, bringing up young players that have talent if they prove that the stage isn't too big for them. And I think the Bears are doing something different, and we'll see what happens.
Tom, that's a great call. During the break, even, it's like you're listening to us. I said if the Bears were running the Cubs, Ian Happ would be at Triple A still.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't trust him to develop and fail.
Throw him in the middle of the season.
Circumstances.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not
for
ready.
For a defending World Series championship team.
In spring training, the rhetoric around Happ, I mean, certainly the excitement wasn't Trubisky-like level, but the rhetoric was, okay, you need to let him develop. He needs another year. He needs some seasoning. Why would you do? Well, the team doesn't need him. And I just think sometimes you have to see what you got and let players. And we treat these guys at 22 years old. Understandably, they're young and they're going to mature and change. But, you know, maybe they can handle it.
Well, as you said, and you played the game at college, you know, to assume there's a fragility here of if that truly is an issue, you got the wrong guy. You drafted the wrong guy. If Mitch Trubisky is fragile mentally, that any setbacks that come his way, he can't handle that, or he can't digest that and move on from it, then, you know, I don't know what the ceiling is for Mitch Trubisky or the future is
for the Chicago Bears?
Good question. I'm waiting for the next wave of this story and the next stage, perhaps. And Brad sort of Biggs hinted at it, not that he's any information, was a hunch. I wonder if the next stage is going to be, well, you know, he's not practicing very well.
Yeah.
He doesn't look very good at practice. He doesn't look like he's grasping the offense at practice. Is that going to be the undercurrent of information that we're being sort of supplied, the spin?
You know, we're not really going to get much into that.
No, we never do.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And Bruce joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Car ready for back to school? See your CarX man. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think the most interesting revelation over the past 5 weeks in National League Baseball is the wild card race, where at one point at the All-Star break, it appeared the National League Central and everybody else was totally out of it. Now you have the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers all firmly in it, with both Arizona and Colorado going through hard times and falling back to the pack. So that's just another carrot for the National League Central to look toward as they compete going down the end here.
And that's a nice insurance policy to have available or possible, but it's still about winning the division first and foremost. And it's only a two-game lead, but does it feel different? And we've been here before where you start feeling that the confidence level is up, that the team is starting to get back to playing good baseball on a regular basis. Even Kyle Hendricks said it yesterday, and I know, you know, those of us who hearken back to 2016, he went there. He said, you know, yesterday's game reminded him of 2016, so here you go. Is it different this time around?
I will not say that until I see the bullpen be more locked down and be a little bit more rested when they can be. It's a worn-down bullpen, not because it's overused by Joe and Bossio and the coaches, but because it's been needed. It's been a forced issue because of starting pitchers not going where they need to go. You know, you had the two Lester, you know, starts where he went two innings and then one inning, you know, against the Pittsburgh. Those things have a long-range impact on a bullpen. And that combined with the idea that Justin Wilson has just not been anything to count on at all. He was supposed to be a lockdown closer toward the end of the back end of the bullpen. Those are combinations I want to see get worked out before I start waving the flag that, you know, this is their division and they're going to walk away with.
Bruce, Javi Baez had another exciting weekend, probably having as good of a – I said he was probably the most exciting athlete in Chicago right now and one of the most exciting players in baseball. Why now, do you think? What's clicked with him offensively this year especially? And I know that's sometimes feast or famine, but he certainly seems to be putting it together at the right time.
Well, you notice the at-bats are getting better. When he goes through those periods where he's trying to hit everything 500 feet down the left field line, it's going to be bad. And when he did that in the past, and Addison Russell was available to play, Joe would find a place on the bench for him and say, you know, until you start regulating your bats, and he didn't even have to say it. It was you know, subtle, but it was there for everybody to see. Until you start taking better bats, you're going to find a place on the bench every other day because of the fact that you're just not using all of your ability. Now you see him winning games in singles up the middle, driving balls hard to right center. That's where this guy is just going to be a scary hitter. And Joe keeps alluding to the fact, wait till you see him in 2 years. Well, everybody's watching him right now, and he's having an impact right now. The hot hitter is to continue to help the Cubs, you know, maintain this brief lead right now. It went from Contreras, then it went to Bryant. Now, you know, Rizzo and certainly Baez have been, you know, at the top of the list of hitting the ball hard. But, you know, it's a team that still has to get by the home run. They're not a crooked number team. Not too many teams are these days in baseball, but they still live and die a lot by the home run. But when Baez is hitting the ball up the middle and to the right side, he's a scary player.
We know when Carl Edwards Jr. was having that streak of struggles, when two or three consecutive outings where he had some real issues. Joe was asked and answered the question saying, of course I'm going to keep trying him out there and not change the way we handle him. Has Justin Wilson earned that given his resume? Or, you know, with only a two-game lead in the division, do you have the luxury to let him work his issues out?
Well, I don't think you have many choices. You know, you can check the waiver wire and see who you could pull off. I know the Cubs are still hard at work looking at pitching, looking at something else that happens. I mean, the addition of Rivera was a tremendously underrated move for them over the weekend because he's an outstanding catch-and-throw guy. They're going to play Milwaukee and Cincinnati a lot going down to the end. Both teams run an awful lot. To be able to negate that is huge, or at least plant the seed in their head that they just can't run at will on the Cubs, whose pitchers don't hold the runners very well. So they're looking, I mean, you know, Hoyer and Epstein are still looking. They will continue to add some moves or not. And if you can add to the bullpen, Brian, you know, go right ahead. But it's going to be difficult to find, as Steele mentioned on Thursday or Friday when he talked to the media. He told us that he's done dealing inventory from their minor league system. The things that they have right now, they don't want to deal anymore. So getting Rivera didn't cost them anything other than, you know, picking up his salary. More moves like that are possible. And then now we have, what, we have 10 days left until they can add as many players as they want December 1st. And that'll, you know, you'll see guys like Caratini come up. You'll want to add a pitcher or two along the way as well.
You know, Bruce, you've watched a lot more baseball than a lot of people. Yesterday, watching the game, I don't think I've seen, I can't remember a time I've seen an umpire during a game signing autographs. Yet there was Joe West between innings going over and signing a kid's autograph in a baseball. Did you see that? And how unusual is that?
I was sitting right there because I was in the photo box ready to go down on the field for an interview afterwards when we talked to Ben Zobrist. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Joe is going to go down as one of the most famous, you know, another year, and he's going to have the most games ever umpired by an umpire in history. And, you know, he's his own dude. He travels to the beat of his own drum. You know, you've seen him in the headlines an awful lot. But, yeah, he almost missed that first pitch in that last inning there because he was finishing. He must have signed, like, I would say 15 autographs, you know, waiting there. And it was a little bizarre, but nonetheless, Joe West, he is a different dude altogether.
You know what's also bizarre? White wristbands in solidarity.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're in the news a lot.
Yeah. Is it really open season on umpires? With replay, it seems like it's anything but. And, you know, I know that, you know, you've had guys calling people out and, you know, Angel Hernandez has to find a different line of work. But good Lord, really? I mean, for a group of guys who should be concerned about keeping their gigs, maybe with you know, automated strike zones perhaps on the horizon, is this really the fight to pick right now?
I agree with you, Brian. No, I wouldn't be picking any fights because in some ways you're becoming, you know, a non-entity because of the fact that you get overruled pretty often. And I, you know, when I talked to Fred Seelig about replay before it started, he said this was the thing he feared the most, that once you start replay, it'll never stop. And once it starts, you know, the umpire's call is getting overturned will impact, you know, maybe the way that they're looked at. And I think that's the case. And they're trying to stand up for themselves, but you see the, you know, you see the replay system impacting them. I think you see in general less arguments because you can't argue balls and strikes, and there's no arguments about whether the, you know, the call was right, safe, or out. You know, it goes straight to replay most of the time unless you're out of, unless you're out of chances to look at it. But I don't know. I agree with you, Brian. You know, they, you know, the best stuff in the background and enjoying what they've, you know, what they've earned for themselves over the years.
You know, Bruce, the White Sox have a doubleheader today. Carson Fulmer makes his first major league start. You got Giolito moved to tomorrow. Nicky Delmonico is doing crazy things you didn't expect as a young player. Sox take two out of three. They're not winning games consistently, but they continue to be an interesting team to watch over there. What'd you make of Delmonico, and what do you expect from the young guys, the pitchers this week?
Well, you know, I give an awful lot of credit to Ricky and Torillo, who keep all the guys, the veterans and the young guys together. I don't think that's an easy task. He's going to have to do this over the next couple of years as well. And I think he's so good at communicating with people and giving messages throughout the game, and especially after games, win or lose. Normally veterans roll their eyes when a manager talks to a team after a game, but the positivity and the pinpoint references that he makes after games has also resonated with the veteran players on the team. So a lot of it goes with him, goes to him, and the fact that he's kept this team together. As far as, Delmonico, is he a flash in the pan? We'll find out. You know, the concentration certainly isn't on necessarily pitching to him, and the book isn't in on him. Look at Nicky, maybe a couple weeks from now, once they have a better book on him, and if he adjusts to that, then I think it's going to be a great story. It already is a good story, for the guy. And, these little stories and guys like Fulmer coming up, Giolito pitching tomorrow, that's all good news for White Sox fans when they can start projecting their rotation of the future right now. I think that's a good move for the White Sox right now.
He's Bruce Levine, the baseball expert here at The Score, and he's brought to us by LifeLock. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to LifeLock.com. Do it today. And Bruce, there was some conversation last week that Addison Russell could play this past weekend. Obviously, he did not do that. Any updates there? And when he does come back, assuming he's fully healthy, what does Baez just slip over to second, or how do you balance that?
I guess he does. He's going to have to do some kind of rehab assignment, I think, before. It's going to be at least, what are we talking about, 2 to 3 weeks here that he hasn't played. So, we keep asking, keep getting the same answer. No new news, no date that we're looking to for him to return. So this foot injury, whether it's the plantar fasciitis or something in the ankle itself, we're not really 100% sure, but he has not recovered to the point where he can do the baseball activities yet. So in the meantime, you have Baez doing his thing at shortstop. And yes, indeed, Brian, I think when he comes back, he's ready to play. He's a starting shortstop. And you have Baez over at second. Then you have the difficulty of for Joe Maddon figuring out, the rotation of Zobrist somewhere else and how often he plays second base in the outfield.
Will Lester have to do a rehab stint?
I don't know. It depends how long it goes. I don't think so. They only expect them to miss two starts. Maybe they're going to be cautious and put him at the back end of their rotation after he misses two starts. So it's actually over 2 weeks that he misses. But from that perspective, it's just wear and tear. There's no injury here. I think that was pointed out on numerous occasions since he went out and over the weekend that there's no injury. This is just a 34-year-old guy pitching deep into the playoffs his whole career, and especially over the last 2 years, and needing a timeout. Hmm. And hopefully he'll come back and he'll be fresh and ready to go.
You hope so. You hope that's the best-case scenario, boy, because there was a lot of concern, as you can attest, last week when he went
down. One thing that is being impactful that you should watch with the Cubs is, at this time of year, they wanted to go to the six-man rotation. They don't have the luxury of having that right now. So when he comes back, do they go to the six-man and keep Montgomery in the mix, or does he go back to that extremely valuable role of twice a week and maybe 3 or 4 innings when needed, when a starting pitcher doesn't get the job done?
All right, Bruce, let's play two today. We'll be talking tomorrow, so enjoy your day out at the ballpark.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Bruce Levine, Score baseball expert, and we want to thank you for calling, texting, emailing, all the ways you get a hold of us. Most importantly, thanks for listening today and every day. We absolutely do appreciate it here on the Mully and Hanley Show. David Hall will be back tomorrow, and we'll have sports, and maybe even some Eclipse talk here right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We'll be back bright and early, live at 5 tomorrow morning. Please join us. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.